Well, amen. Thank you, folks. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 3. I'm going to continue looking at this lame man that was healed and the message that the Apostle Peter preached. We've been looking at this now for several services, several weeks, and it's just, I can't get away from it. I just can't get away from it. So I'm going to stay with it till I get tired of it. I probably won't get tired of it, so get used to turning to Acts chapter 3, all right? But there is so much here. My soul, there is so much here. And I want to show you some something I think is going to be a blessing to your heart. And we started this several weeks ago. I preached through the first chapter and then the second chapter, and then I tried to go another direction and just kept coming back to the third chapter. And so let me just go ahead and preach on it again this morning. Somebody asked me out in the hallway, said, well, you're going to go through the whole book? I don't know. I kind of doubt it, but I don't know. I just can't get away from this. I keep seeing stuff and seeing things that I underline and I mark, and I say, oh, I need to go back and preach on that. And so I sat this week in my office Thursday morning. I started reading Thursday morning, and I just read that third chapter over and over and over and over, and tried to get just a general overall understanding of what the Apostle Peter was preaching to these people. And thus the sermon this morning. Let me just have you look at your Bible. I'll just reference a verse or two, and then we'll read a few verses in just a moment. But you remember the story that Peter and John, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, they went to the temple in verse 1, and they were going up to pray and to be spend some time with the Lord. And as they walked through the gate, there was a fellow sitting there who had been lame from birth. He is crippled in his legs, unable to walk. His family every day would bring him and put him at the gate, and he would beg alms of the people. And Peter and John walked by, and this fellow looked at him and said, "Do you have any alms for the poor?" And Peter stopped and said, "Well, silver and gold we don't have. We're Baptist preachers, and so we don't have any money. But what we do have, we'll give to you." And so he said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And boy, you know, instantly that guy jumps up. If you look, please, in verse 7, it says that immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Wow. I mean, there was no therapy. He didn't have to go file his insurance claim and then get permission, you know, get a referral. And no, just like that, rise up and walk. And this man, who for all of his life had been unable to walk, stood up and was leaping and jumping and praising God. And all, verse 9, all the people saw it. Now, what happened when the people saw this? Well, Peter and John just kept walking towards the temple. They were going towards Solomon's porch so they could pray. And this guy is walking with them, and he's jumping all over the place, bouncing everywhere. And Peter, the crowd started to gather, and they're asking, what is this? How did this happen? How in the world did this take place? And they thought that Peter and John did it. And so they were just astounded and amazed in verse 10 that this fellow was able to walk. And that's when Peter saw an opportunity to do what the Lord commissioned his disciples to do, and that's preach the gospel and tell these people how to get saved. And so that's what he did. In verse 13, he said to them, they want to know, who did this? How did this happen? What's the story here? And Peter starts preaching. He said, God did this. God hath glorified his son. This is, you want to know how this happened? I'll tell you how this happened. Jesus. This is Jesus. This is God glorifying His Son. The Lord Jesus did this. And then you remember last Sunday night's message. That's where we looked at verse 13, 14, 15, where Peter then exclaimed to these people that this was Jesus, and this was the one that you killed. This is the one that you denied. This is the one that you tried to get rid of, and you thought you were rid of him, but you've now found out you can't get rid of him. How'd this happen? Well, this is Jesus. You thought you were done with him, but you're not. And so in verse 16, he said, it is faith in his name that has made this man to walk. Now, in light of that, in light of the fact that you are now being brought face to face once again with Jesus, the one you thought you were done with, but you're not done with him. He's back. Here he is. Look at verse 19. Peter says to them, repent ye therefore. Now look at me. He didn't say reform ye therefore. He said repent ye therefore. And be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Now, I've summarized for you the situation. Here's a crippled man. He gets healed. Everybody wants to know how it happened. Peter stands up, says, God did this through Jesus. What you're seeing here, this is Jesus. And you thought you were done with him. You're not done with him. You're never going to be done with him. And so in light of that, here's God's message for you. Repent. You need to repent of your sin. You need to believe in Jesus. And then he goes on to preach the rest of the sermon. Now, I want us this morning to start in this 19th verse. And I want to show you a couple things as Peter continued on to preach his message. I want to speak to you this morning a message that I'm going to entitle The Return of Christ. The Return of Christ. Now, so you listen carefully to the Word of God this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, bless us now. Lord, oh, how we need you to speak to our hearts this morning. What a great message this was that Peter preached. And Lord, just as he had a crowd of people gathered around him, there's a crowd of people gathered in here this morning listening to me. And Lord, I pray that you'll help me, just as you blessed the Apostle Peter and you helped him. Lord, bless and help me this morning. And Father, I pray that the Word of God will go forth clearly and Lord, distinctly, that it will go forth with conviction, and that, Lord, you will draw each and every one of us to you. Father, I pray that we'll leave here this morning rejoicing at what we've allowed you to do in our lives. So bless us now, we pray, Father, and help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, as I said to you this morning in the introduction, the thrust of the first part of this message is that Peter is trying to get these folks to see you're not finished with Jesus yet. You thought you were done with him when you took him out and you denied him and you crucified him. You thought that was it. But it wasn't it. Yes, he died. Yes, we buried him. But on the third day, he came out of that grave. Death could not keep him in the grave. He resurrected, and we saw him. We're witnesses to this. And then he ascended to the Father, and now he's commissioned us to preach his message, to preach his word. And so what you are seeing in this man being healed, what you're seeing here is just a continuation of all that Jesus both began to do and is still doing. And so that's the message that Peter is basically proclaiming to these people. He is telling them, you are now, once again, being confronted with Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, you were confronted with Him before, and now you're going to be confronted with Him again. You're going to have to face Him. He's not dead. You thought He was dead, but He's not dead. And you're going to have to face Him, and I want to serve notice on you. You're going to have to continue to face Him. You go ahead and deny Him. You go ahead and disbelieve. Do whatever you want to do, but He's God, and you're going to have to face Him again. He will confront you now. He'll confront you later. He'll confront you on your deathbed. And even more importantly, He will be confronting you beyond death, for you will one day have to stand before Him, and you'll have to face Him in judgment. So in light of all that, Peter just looks them all square, dead in the face, and says, "Hey, people, repent. Repent." Now, before I get to the message this morning and tell you, explain to you what I want to explain to you, let me digress for just a moment. I had this in my message last Sunday night, and I got so cranked up, I went right over it, and then couldn't find it when I thought of it. Couldn't find it, so I'm going to give it to you now. All right, just put a parenthesis around everything I just said. Let me give you this, and then we'll jump back into the text. Let me digress for just a moment on an important fact. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. When Peter told these people they had denied the Holy and Just One, when he told them that they killed the Prince of Life, in verse 17 he said, "I know you did this through ignorance. I know you did this through ignorance." And when it dawned upon me that that's a very important statement that Peter made right there. He told these folks they had rejected Jesus and killed Him, slaughtered Him on the cross out of sheer ignorance. But the point that he's making here is that that does not mean you're excused. Ignorance is no excuse. They would ever have to face the Lord Jesus even in ignorance, be judged on the basis of whether or not they believed in Him and had accepted Him as their Savior. In other words, folks, ignorance does not excuse a person for not believing the truth. We are all accountable. Jesus died for all men. Every single person on this planet is responsible to God for his sin. And we're going to have to give an account. Now, if you're going down the road 120 miles an hour down Route 140 out here, and a policeman pulls you over, and he says, "Bud, why are you going 120? You look at him and say, "Well, I didn't know what speed limit was, so I was just making my own speed limit." And no, that doesn't work. I never will forget, we were out in Illinois, and I was, of all things, going to the airport to pick up Dr. Smith. Dr. Smith was coming to preach at our church in Illinois. And I was going out through the country, bypassing all of Chicago in order to get to the airport. I'm on this country road, and I go flying out this country road because I was a tad bit late. I went flying out this country road, and a policeman was coming this way, had his radar on, and he turned his lights on. So I knew he was going to get me, so I just pulled off the road. He spun around, came behind me, and he said, "Are you in a hurry?" And I said, "Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, I am in a hurry." And he said, "Where are you going in a hurry?" And I said, "I'm going to the airport to pick up a preacher who's preaching in my church tomorrow." And he shook his head, and he said, "You preachers, I'm telling you, preachers," like that. He said, "Driver's license and registration." I gave it to him. He went back. He was back here a little while, and he came over, and he said, "All right, take this to court, and it'll cost you this much money, and you get these many points." I was doing 20 miles an hour over speed limit. And so I looked at that, and I said, "You're kidding." He says, "No." I said, "Don't you have some kind of warning system in this state?" And lo and behold, folks, look, he points to a sign right in front of me that said speed limit 35. He said, "Yeah, it's called speed limit sign." I said, "Point well taken, sir." And I drove off, paid my fine, and took my points. Amen. That's the last speeding ticket I've ever gotten, by the way, too. That broke me right there. But nonetheless, ignorance is no excuse. Folks, listen, you can't say, well, "I didn't know." Listen, as of this morning, everybody in this building is going to know. I mean, you know, we are responsible. We are accountable. Ignorance is no excuse. So Peter says, on the basis of all that you've seen here, now remember, here's this guy who has been healed. And these people are all, who did this? What is this? Peter stands up and says, this is Jesus. And the one you crucified, the one you killed, the one you thought you were done with, well, I want to serve notice on you, you're not done with him. You are accountable to him. You are responsible. And Peter holds this man standing right there and says to them, look at this guy. What happened to him is what the Lord is all about. All right. Now, that brings us to the text that we have in verse 19. He says to them, in light of all this, repent. Now, folks, let me say it again. I read this sermon over and over and over, and when we got to the end of verse 18 and started verse 19, I said to myself, okay, that's where he's leading to. That's where he's headed. Because, you know, ultimately, that's the crux of every message. That's the heartbeat of every message. To get us to see the truth and to accept the truth. And then I got to looking at it, and I thought, well, wait a minute, he kept on preaching. He kept preaching. Why did he keep preaching? Well, there's a reason he did. You see, he's got this lame man standing right there with him. And I find it interesting the way that he does not ever leave. He does not dismiss the man who was healed, this miracle that was with him. You see, I shared with you a couple weeks ago when we looked at the first part of this chapter that miracle was nothing more than a sign. That's all it was. You remember the illustration? You're going down the road on vacation and you're hungry and you see, you're on the interstate and you see a big golden arch and you thought, McDonald's. And so you think, that'll work. So you pull off and you get out of your car and go and sit underneath the sign. What good does that do you? The sign just let you know that the substance was there. And that's what Peter is doing with this man. Look, please, at verse 16. Peter doesn't get away from this man. He keeps him right there. And he's using him as an illustration. He's using him as a point. And he says, this man whom ye see and know. Peter kept reminding them that they knew this fella. They understood, recognized him. They knew his family. They knew that every day he was brought to the gate. He was as much of a fixture around there as the gate itself. And Peter made use of that. And basically, here's what he's saying in verse 19, 20, 21, and really down to the end of the chapter. He says to them, you are amazed to see this man now walking and leaping and praising God. But what you need to realize is that this sign, this miracle that Jesus did in this man's life is but a sign, it's but a foretaste of what Jesus is going to do for the whole universe. It is but a sign of what Jesus is going to do for the whole universe. You see, folks, the point is, he said, you thought you were done with him over here. When you killed him, when you crucified him on the cross, you thought that was it. But you are now finding out you're not done with him. And verse 19 through verse 26 is Peter telling these people, you think all this back here was something special, and you think all, and it was, don't get me wrong, it was, but Peter's point is, Jesus has still got a whole lot more that he's going to do. Amen. You've only seen just a small part of what the Lord is going to do. Yep. Now, you are fully aware that we have a book in our Bible called the Book of the Revelation. You're fully aware that Book of the Revelation talks about a rapture taking place, about the Lord Jesus coming back. You're fully aware that this Bible talks about a tribulation period and a return, a second coming, and a battle of Armageddon, and the devil defeated, and the armies of the Antichrist defeated, and a 1,000-year reign. And Peter's point to these people is, in verse 19, 20, and 21, his point is, Listen, all this is past tense. This has already happened. And you thought you were done with him here. Oh, no. That is just the foundation upon which all of this is going to be built. And we are right now awaiting the Lord to return. And that's what Peter's point is, that, hey, folks, you're going to have to face him again. All right. Now, nod your heads. Everybody understand that? All right. Now, that leads me to the point that I want you to see. The healing of this lame man is but an illustration of what God in Christ will do to the whole universe. I mean, we must realize that a part of the preaching of the gospel message is that salvation is not just a personal matter. It is a personal matter. But folks, listen, it is a universal matter. All men need to be saved. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So a vital part of the message is that it includes the greater whole. And so Peter, in effect, is saying to these people, Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the appointed one by God, foreordained by God before the foundation of the world to lead a great work of deliverance. And all men are accountable and responsible for him. You think you're done with him? Oh, no. He's got a whole plan that is yet to be unveiled. Nod your heads. You with me on that? All right. Now, let's get to it. Let's get to it. Folks, the heartbeat of the Bible message is clear. And let God has a plan for the whole world. I mean, for everybody. Everybody. God's plan is being executed by the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ, God's plan will be executed and carried out to its completion. Peter is saying, Jesus came, did what was the will of the Father. He died for sin, for men. He paid the penalty for sin. He was then buried and resurrected, and he went back to heaven. He commissioned us to preach his message, and that's what we're doing right now, and that's still what we're doing. And so Peter is saying, what you just saw in the healing of this lame man is Christ still working. And I want you to understand that Christ is not done yet. He will continue to work. And folks, listen, this is the message. This is the crucial message of the New Testament church. I mean, this is such a vital part of the ministry of the New Testament church. But you know, the world doesn't want to hear that message, does it? You know, the world just doesn't want to hear that they need to repent. The world doesn't like the word repent. As a matter of fact, not only do they not accept this message, in most places they abhor this message. They don't want to hear that Jesus is coming again and that man's going to have to be accountable to him. They don't want to hear that. I mean, you know, you go to the average church today, and what do you hear? You hear a pat on the back, feel good sermons. You hear these little, oh, you know, you are loved. Well, folks, that's true. I mean, I do preach that. I I've said it already this morning. God loves you. Amen. All right. I mean, you know, I'm all for that message. They say, preacher, you need to soften up a little bit. You need to lighten it up a little bit. You know, all of this, and you're going to go to hell and preacher, do you have to just harp on all that stuff all the time? The world wants reform. They just want the feel good stuff. The world doesn't want to hear the message that Jesus is coming again. They don't want to hear the message that when he comes, his wrath is going to be poured out on unbelieving men. The message that Jesus is not done with mankind and will one day soon re-enter directly into the affairs of this world is a matter that the world not only abhors, but they laugh at it and they mock it and they look at us like we're some kind of nuts because we believe it. It's how you Christians with your pie-in-the-sky religion. How you Christians with your wonderful future world and golden harps and streets of gold and halos and mansions on the hilltop and little wands in their hands and spoofle dust flying everywhere. We're all grown up now as a society. And we don't need that stuff anymore. We're beyond that kind of thing. We want a message today that helps us with right now. A message that'll help us deal with our problems today. And society wants us to simply deal with reforming the world. You know, let's reform the world. Let's sit down and let's make the world right through dialogue. You know, I mean, listen, you know it's true. The liberals and humanists of our day despise President Bush because he won't dialogue with terrorists. You know, he won't talk to Adolf Ahmadinejad. He won't talk to him. He was even here. And why they let him come here is beyond me. You know, you should have said, I'm sorry, but you can't come here. Or if he did come here, arrest him and hold him for treason and for terrorism. You know, I mean, my goodness, what's wrong with us? But, you know, Bush, he won't talk. He wouldn't talk to Saddam Hussein. Well, we ought to impeach him. He won't talk to Ahmadinejad. We ought to impeach him. Folks, how do you reason with ignorance? Huh? How do you reason with ignorance? But that's what the world wants. The world wants to make things right by legislation. They want to make the world right through sociological movements. They want to make the world right through education. And folks, listen, this has been the theme for about the last 75, 100 years in our country. It started way back in the 30s and the 40s of the 1900s. And when it started back all those years ago, they gave it a name. They called it the social gospel. It took the judgment out. It took the wrath out. It took sin out. It took hell out. And what it did was it soft soaked and it rose petaled. The world. And it has been given all kinds of names since the early 40s. It's been called neo-evangelicalism. Doesn't that sound sweet? It has been called postmodernism. It has been called ecumenism. It has been called humanism and liberalism. But no matter what you call it, it has swept our world and infiltrated multitudes of churches in every denomination. And it is a belief that Christianity is nothing more than a view of life and a view of the social order. And they say that we can reform the world and make the world the world society happy, and we can do it by simply talking things out and agreeing to disagree, and we can eventually ourselves get the world to destroy their bombs and stop fighting the wars, and we can dialogue with our enemies and sit down and work everything out and create leagues of nations where we can fix all our problems. You say, well, what's behind that? Here's what's behind it. We don't want Jesus to come back and fix it. We want to fix it ourselves. We don't need God to come back, because if He comes back, it's going to be judgment. And we don't want judgment. We want sweetness. We want pat on the back. We don't need Jesus to come back and establish utopia. We can do it ourselves. We don't want God to rule over us. We want to rule ourselves. And folks, this is our humanistic society's way of viewing the world. And this social gospel has not worked. It will not work. And it's not the Bible way. You say, well, what's the Bible way? I'm so glad you asked. Look at verse 19. What's the Bible way? Repent. Repent. Not reform. Repent. God's plan is not reform. God's plan is repent. The social gospel of reform, of discuss, of work out our differences is the exact opposite of what the Apostle Peter preached here. Now, notice what Peter did. He reminded his listeners of the tragedy of their denial of the Holy One, of the just. He reminded them that they needed to repent. He reminded them that it's not reform, it's repentance. He reminded them of all that. And the point is, there's not a thing in Peter's sermon about reform. Not a thing. The message of the Christian church is to repent of sin. There is not a word about going out and preaching the gospel in order to get folks to live better lives or to influence the government in order to get us all under the government's umbrella so government will solve all of our problems for us. No, the message is man has offended a holy and righteous God, and they better repent and trust Jesus who died for the sins of all mankind, because you have one day got to face him. And that's the message. That's the message. You say, well, why? What do you mean I got to face him? That's right. That's the message. He died over here. He went back to heaven. He's still in heaven today, but he's coming back. And we're going to have to face him. Now, look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. This miracle is an illustration. Now, look at your Bible. Look at the, please at verse 19, 20, and 21. Let me read it to you again. He said, repent. Repent. And be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Now, notice that. He shall send who? That's the one they thought they were rid of. You're never going to get rid of him, folks. He is not dead. He is alive forevermore. And verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution. Now watch. Watch. They crucified him over here. And he died. You know how I know he died? Because they buried him. That's what you do to dead people. You bury them. He was in the grave. 3 days, 3 nights, he came out of that grave. And then 40 days later, he went back to heaven. And now Peter and John, they witnessed all this. And now they're testifying to all these people. You thought you were done with him. You weren't. We've seen him. 3 days, he came out of the grave, just like he said. 40 days later, he ascended to the Father. We watched him go. You're not done with him. You're not done with him. Now watch very carefully now, and don't miss Peter's point. They want to know how this man was healed. And Peter tells them it's the same person that they thought they had gotten rid of. He's the key to it all. And his point is, listen to me now, what they just saw in the miracle of this man, this lame man's healing, what they just saw in the miracle is a picture of what will happen to the entire universe one of these days. Let's take the key phrases. Look, please, at verse 21. He said, whom the heaven must receive. What's that? That's the ascension. That's when the Lord went back to heaven. Whom the heaven must receive. And so he's still there. Watch me now. He went up. He's still there. He's still there. And he's going to stay there until, according to your Bible, the times of restitution. Now, what does that mean? Well, remember that let's see, where are we? Whom the heaven must receive. That's the ascension. So now Jesus is in heaven. And he's going to stay there until the times of restitution. What does that mean? The word restitution means to restore. To restore. Now watch his message, folks. He says to them, this is Jesus. Look here. That man is still right there with Peter and John. Peter's got his arm around, picture it in your head. Peter's got his arm around this guy. He's bouncing up and down. He's so excited he can't stand it. He has been healed. He's bouncing. Peter's got his arm around him. And he says, look here, everybody. That Jesus that you thought, watch him. His arm's moving. Can you see it? He said, that Jesus over there that you crucified and you thought you were done with, you aren't done with him. See this guy right here? You want to know, how did he get like this? Jesus did this. And that old boy's sitting there going, amen. Yes, sir. And he's bouncing up and down. And Peter says, and listen, this miracle, what you just witnessed in this guy getting healed, I want you to know that what Jesus did for this guy right here is what one of these days he's going to do for the whole world. He's going to restore all things. Got it? Now, you say, well, Pastor, Peter said Jesus is going to stay in heaven until God sends him back to restore all things. That's right. You say, well, what's he going to restore? Everything that was broken by sin. I mean, everything that was broken by sin. That's what he's going to restore. Folks, do you not remember when Adam sinned in Genesis 3, God confronted him and told him that because of sin, everything had a curse upon it now. I mean, the man had a curse upon him. I mean, think about it. Now, that's why you got to work. It would have been a whole lot easier just sit, eat garden vegetables all day long.
Amen.
But now we got to work. Why? Because of the curse upon man for his disobedience to God. And hey, gals, that struggle you have with that submission thing to your husband, that's because of the curse. So why do I got to listen to that idiot? Because God said you did. Well, I'm 10,000 times smarter than he is. I know. But God said you got to be in submission to your husband. And that childbirth thing, you know, that travail in childbirth, I said, man, thought I was going to die. It's because of the curse. And by the way, you walked out this morning early. If you got up early and went outside, you saw frost on the ground. Ah, boy, it's coming, isn't it? Huh? Yeah, the leaves are starting to turn, starting to feel that nip in the air. Yeah, it's getting colder. Won't be long, we'll be shoveling snow. Oh, yeah. Afraid so. Yep, it's the way it works. Hey, some of you had hair when I came here 12 years ago. You know, it's funny, it's a different color now than what it was when I came here 12 years ago. Matter of fact, mine's a different color than what it was when I came here 12 years ago. Since I've been here as your pastor, I've had all kinds of things removed from my body. Yeah, they cut this, cut out of my arm, and they cut out of my back, and they've cut out of my forehead. I got a big hole up here in my forehead where they cut something out of it. Didn't even tell me what it was. Yeah, you never know. Wake up every morning, go in and look at the mirror, and say, ooh, there's something new. I hadn't seen that one before. You grow stuff overnight. It's amazing. It's called the curse. It's called the wages of sin is death.
Right.
Yeah. The curse is upon us. Hey, folks, you got it on you. I got it on me. It's on the earth. I mean, it's all over the place. And here's the promise. When God pronounced that curse, he told Adam, he said, I am one day going to send my Redeemer. And my Redeemer, folks, this was all the way back in the beginning when the curse was first pronounced. God said, I'll send my Redeemer and he'll fix this. But right now you're under it because you disobeyed me. And 4,000 years later, here comes Jesus. And boy, he was God in the flesh. And he went to that cross, and on that cross, he took the curse. And he bore your sin and my sin on that cross. He went to that cross and died for you. The wages of sin is what? death, and he went and died in your place. And then they buried him, proof that he was dead. And they rolled the stone in front of it, got the soldiers down there and said, we're not letting him out. But death could not keep him in that grave. And man, that stone rolled away and out came Jesus. 40 days and 40 nights later, he went back to the Father. And before he went, he told those disciples on the Mount of Olives, he said, you go preach this message to everybody and tell them that I'm the only way. And so just a few weeks later, here's old Peter standing up, got a crowd around, got that old boy bouncing under his arm. He's so excited. Peter's got a hold of him, trying to hold him down. He's bouncing all over the place. And he said, you want to know what the message is? Here's the message. Repent, repent, because if you don't, you're going to pay. God is not going to be mocked. Jesus came and did for this man what he wants to do for everybody. Amen. If you just let him do it. In other words, he'll restore you. You say, well, what do I need restored? Your fellowship with God. I can fellowship with God. Now you got to repent. You got to come to Jesus. The only way you can fellowship with God is to come to Jesus. There's no other way. And you know the amazing thing is, twice in verse 18 and in verse 21, twice Peter looks at these people and he says, folks, you know what I don't understand? Jews. Right, he's got an audience of Jews. He's got an audience of Pharisees and priests. And he said, you know what? I can't understand. You guys had this in your book. You've had this in your Bible all this time. Why in the world can't you see this? It's in the book. It's in the book. I tell you why we can't see it, because we don't read the book. It's in the book. And so again, the miracle of a healing. And the healing of this man, the miracle, the healing of a crippled man, it was a sign. And God did it through Jesus, and God is going to do it again through Jesus, only he's going to do it on a grand scale one of these days. And it's going to be for the whole universe. And in that light, you better repent. You see, folks, one of these days, that rapture is going to happen. You know? One of these days. You know, we're one of these days when we're all, you know, doing our thing and, you know, we're running our errands and going to our soccer games and going to Blockbuster. And, you know, one of these days when we're carting off to a car show somewhere, or we're going to a race. And one of these days when we're just all caught up in this world's thinking, all of a sudden that trumpet's going to sound. That trumpet's going to sound. And, you know, millions of people are going to disappear. Millions of saved people. And the headlines in the Baltimore Sun the next day, aliens. Oh, you wait. Aliens? Question mark. Could aliens have come and snatched all these millions of people away? Oh, you're not going to believe it. It's going to be unreal. We're gone. And then the world's going to be standing around going, boy, I don't like this. Wow. And somebody's going to pick up a Bible and they're going to turn over in their Bible and they're going to start reading. And they're going to get to Acts chapter 3 and they're going to read in Acts chapter 3 where Peter said, repent that ye therefore that you're and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus, which before you was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all of his holy prophets since the world began. And the world's going to sit around and say, I mean, Can you see it now on CNN? We brought together an excellent panel here. Here's a Father so-and-so, and here's Reverend so-and-so, and here's Reverend Mrs. so-and-so, and so this new panel that these are These are educated people now. These people ought to know. If anybody ought to know, and they're going to look at them and say, you know, there's been some speculation. Could this be the rapture that these, you know, these wacky fundamentalists have been talking about? Could this possibly be that Jesus has come back and has taken the true believer on to heaven? Well, you know, we've been sitting around talking about this last few hours, and we don't think so. No, we don't think so. All baloney. That's exactly what it is. And you go ahead and deny. You go ahead. I don't have time for God. I don't have time. I'm too busy. I don't have time to go to church. I don't have time to read the Bible. I don't have time for Jesus. Well, my friends, one of these days, Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
And you are dead sure going to wish that you had taken time over here.
Right.
You mark it down. And there's old Peter standing there with that guy bouncing underneath his arm. Man, he's about ready to burst. He is so excited he can't stand it. Peter says, you see how happy he is? You just wait till Jesus comes back. And we're all going to be happy. Can you imagine walking on streets of gold? Can you imagine walking on stuff that we kill each other for down here? Can you imagine your own mansion? Can you imagine gates of pearl? Biggest oysters in all the world. Can you imagine a river of life? Can you imagine seeing Jesus every day through eyes of sight and not just through eyes of faith? That's the times of restitution. When He restores all things. By the way, can you imagine not having that backache? Can you imagine not having that lost memory? Can you imagine not having those hurting knees? Can you imagine not having that broken heart? That's coming at the times of restitution. And Peter's point is, what you see in this old bouncing boy right here, what you see is just a foretaste of what God's going to do for the whole universe. May God help us to see this and understand it. Do you know Him, my friend? Do you know Him? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, You know our needs this morning. Lord, I pray that You will meet the needs of our hearts. And give us understanding of what we've heard. Lord, there are no doubt in a crowd this size, folks that need to be saved here today. So, Lord, speak to hearts and do Your work now in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around, please. How many of you here today will say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know it. There's no doubt about it. If I died today, I'm going to heaven and I know I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know Christ is your Savior? Pastor, I know that I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I know that I'm going to heaven. Amen. Thank you. You may put your hands down. You may put your hands down. Now listen very carefully, dear friend. If you could not raise your hand with everybody else, I wish you would right now say, Pastor, with my raised hand, I'm indicating to you that I'm concerned about my soul. I know I need the Lord. I know I need to be saved. And preacher, I wish you'd pray for me this morning. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, dear friend? Let me pray and ask God to help you. Yes, God bless you. And God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Amen. Are there others? God bless you. Good. Are there others? Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. Yes, you may put yours down, sir. God bless you. I see your hand. Folks, it's been going on in the church, preaching the gospel, telling people how to get saved, telling people Jesus loves them, telling people that He loves you so much He died for you, and if by faith you trust Him, you can get to heaven. But listen, if you don't, you're going to have to face Him down the road in judgment. You either trust Him now as your Savior, or you stand before Him one of these days as your judge. It's that simple. It's that simple. But you will always have Him before you. I will pray for those of you that raised your hand. How many Christians here today say, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart. I'm not where I should be spiritually, and I want you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand, dear friend, all over the building? Yes, God bless you. Many hands. God bless you. All right. Now, Lord, you know our needs today. Bless and meet the needs of our hearts. Lord, help us to see ourselves this morning as sinners in need. And Lord, meet the need. You know every hand that was raised here this morning. And Lord, you know who's saved and who's not. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you will help folks to come this morning. Give them the courage and the strength to walk down this aisle and let someone take a Bible and show them how to be saved. Oh, Lord, do your work now in our hearts and bless these Christian folks, Lord, that raise their hand. Lord, no doubt there's folks that need to join the church this morning, folks that need to be baptized this morning. So, Lord, just work in our hearts in Jesus' name.